So we're going to continue the series in the stories that Jesus told, and I'm going to look at Luke 13, 1 to 9. If you haven't got a Bible, it doesn't matter because I'm going to put the words on the screen, but you might want to read through the Bible. If you do, then the welcome team people will drop a Bible off. If you want one, please put your hand in the air and they'll give you a Bible. And if you haven't got your own Bible, you can keep it. A gift from Grace. I've got several at home. I should bring them back, really. My first thought on this was, what title shall I give it? Is everyone here good at making decisions? Those who were said no immediately. Yeah, and if you're not, like me, you wouldn't have done. Because I'm not very good at making decisions. So I was thinking, let's read the passage together. And then, as I'm reading through it, think what title you would allocate. If you were doing this talk, please feel free to do that, by the way. I'm happy to be replaced. No, I'm not. And see what title you'd come up with. So let's read it through. So I'll have to read this slide. Now, there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans are worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Are those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year. I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." Have you thought of a title? Shall I give you my thoughts? Repent or perish? That's a pretty powerful one, isn't it? The barren fig tree, which if you had a Bible in front of you, that's what the title is on the text. Not too late. Repent and be fruitful. Uprooted or fruited. I like that one because it rhymes. And did any of you get those? You got the title, or repent and perish. Yeah. So, obviously I had to make a decision. That's what I worked my way through that. And I knew those bits were fine. Anyone interested in 17:9:17? Isn't it a great date? I love dates which follow one another. Patterns, mathematical patterns. Sorry. Does anyone else like that? So just two of us. Good. Right. Or two of us willing to admit it. Yes. Anyway, so the title I came up with was not that one at all. Did anyone come up with that one? Suppose you've only got a year to live. Suppose you've only got a year to live. When you think about the world we live in, there's a lot of stuff goes on, isn't there? World. A lot of stuff which is difficult to explain. People dying. We just don't know why, being injured or whatever. And you just think about the news stories that you probably heard this morning on the radio or yesterday in the news. And you can't help but think of things like hurricane that just devastated the Caribbean and America. They were people's houses. Can't even recognize them as houses. People died. They woke up in the morning, hurricane came along, and they were dead. Even the rich can't get away from it. So Richard Branson, his island that he owns, Necker Island, got devastated. He wasn't killed, but it, you know, as a rich person, he's got the ability to rebuild his island. As poor people, we don't. Lives can be shattered and remain shattered for a long time. What about North Korea and America? Are we going to have World War III? Will we have nuclear explosions everywhere? Will the world come to an end? Jesus come at that point? Did we expect Jesus to use nuclear war to return on? No. Yesterday, M5 crash. 4 dead after lorry went through central reservation and collided with several vehicles. A woman and 2 children are fighting for their lives in hospital after the fatal crash which happened northbound between junction 15 and 14 near Bristol yesterday. If you went to West Point, that's probably a bit of motorway you might have driven on. Just that we did it a month or so earlier. Yesterday, it could have been us. Or locally, Comic Corner. The joys of Comic Corner. Has anyone been stuck there for hours trying to turn right from Yapton? Is it just me? Is it because I'm not a very good driver? You know, people have been killed. At least one person's been killed about 10, 15 years ago at Comic Corner. And accidents galore. What's going on? You know, and you've got people like in Burma. Can't pronounce it. How do you pronounce that one? Burma. You know, just killing people because they don't like the religion, etc. What is going on in the world? Why are these things happening? And for me, Monday last week, was a day which always sticks in my mind because of the company I used to work for. And I just want to show you a clip, and I want to talk about it because it impacts me about the immediacy, the fragility of life.
Came in like a missile, like a fireball missile across from the New York harbor side, I guess in the Newark direction. It came in like a spear. It just speared through the building like a fireball. You know, you can see the cut of the incision into the building is sideways, so the plane was slightly on its side, and that's why it made me think maybe it was in distress. But then when it obviously hit, there was almost no doubt that it was intentional.
I dropped the phone, and my arms dropped to my side, and I just heard everybody in the office say, "Get out, get out." And then it was when I was heading down on 27, just about 27, didn't hear an explosion. All of a sudden, the staircase moved, and a crack in the wall appeared, maybe about 6 or 8 inches. Kept on looking at the numbers coming down the stairwell, 15, 14 counting, and then I actually thought, all right, I can make it. When I got out, I looked like I've never seen war up close, but today I have.
You know, I said, that's going to go down like the first one, and it came down, and it was just this sound, this rumble. And this mass cloud coming at us. It's intense.
At that point, we decided just to get out of there. People were just going crazy at that point, evacuating.
Bridge. Long Island Railroad, limited service. New Jersey, you want to
for me, I work for Mercer and Chichester office, we had in the World Trade Center, 2,700 odd people died that day, and 295 of those worked for the same company I did. And the year before, less than a year before, I was in the World Trade Center in a meeting in the restaurant, and you could look down because the glass, the full height glass, and it come back about 6 inches, and you could look straight down and you could see the ground and little decks which were people some 14,000 foot below you, 100 odd floors below you. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what, people jumped out of that building because of what happened rather than burned to death. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I can't imagine what that was like, but I was there and it could have been me. If it'd been a year earlier, that could have been me. And you've got to say to yourself, the Manchester attack, London attacks, the tube firebomb, which would have exploded and killed people but didn't fortunately kill anyone. What's going on? What is going on? Why isn't God stopping this? Why isn't God putting an end to terrorist attacks, to man-made stupidity or terrorism, or the natural disasters where hurricanes attack? What is going on? Why isn't God stopping this? Got to be a question we've got to ask. What about suffering? Why is God allowing this to take place? That yesterday, 4 people died in a motorway crash. They weren't expecting a lorry to come across the central reservation. Those people in the World Trade Center, they went to work in the morning, never came home. They had loved ones. They never said goodbye to them, possibly. It just happens in an instant. We're alive. Next minute, we're dead. And we don't really have control over that, do we? You've got to think, what are you going to do in the next year of your life? Why is that title there? So what does God say? What does it say in the passage we looked at? What does Jesus say about the things that happened at his time, which has a reflection? Does Jesus answer the question of why does God allow this to happen? Let's have a look. So the verses 1 to 5, if we just look at some of the things. So Jesus is on a long walk. He's been talking to the Pharisees, he's been talking to his disciples, and now he's talking to the crowd around him. He's on the way to Jerusalem. About 6 months before he dies, gets crucified. Some people in the crowd say to Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Pilate! Now, if you were asleep, I don't know, but it's very loud. I don't think it was, no one's died, have they? Just checking. Pilate, that's the, Pilate was the governor, the prefect, if you want to call him, of Judea. He was in charge of Jerusalem, etc. His contemporaries, Philo and Josephus, who wrote about that time, they called him a cruel and nasty piece of work in our language. When he took over control of Jerusalem, he deliberately put the banners and emblems of Rome, pagan Rome, in the temple, and that almost caused a riot. He had to back down. He took money out of the temple to pay for the aqueduct to be built to bring water into Jerusalem. And because people were revolting, the Jews were revolting, he got his soldiers dressed up as civilians. And when they didn't back down, didn't calm down, he got the soldiers to kill and murder and maim them as if they were part of the crowd. He was in charge of Judea from 26 AD to 36 AD. Do you know why he stopped being in charge? Because Rome called him back. Why? Because he was too violent. So Rome, the people who executed people by crucifixion, said he was too violent and made him come back to Rome and took his power away. Shows us what a nasty piece of work he was. And 6 months later, so he's judging Jesus and getting him crucified. So does Jesus answer the question about suffering? We don't know yet. He does say, do you think these Galileans are worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered? And the answer is quite clearly, no. Unless you repent, you will perish. Isn't that interesting? Then, so this is the question the crowd asked. Then Jesus puts in another question himself. He says, he may not even have known too much about the Pilate incident, but he might have known, he certainly knew about the 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam collapsed. That's the tower and part of the wall of Jerusalem. So 18 of them died, it collapsed. That could have been bad building, of course, or it could have just been an accident, natural disaster. Top one, political, terrorist type thing, state-funded terrorism almost. And the bottom one is just perhaps a natural disaster. And refers it to the people living in Jerusalem. And are they more guilty just because they've been killed in this incident? He says, no, unless you repent, you will perish. It's fairly clear that Jesus isn't interested in the suffering side of things. What is he interested in then? What he's saying is, these people died, it wasn't their fault they died. Just because they were more sinful or less sinful than someone else didn't stop them being killed. The Jews at the time thought that if you had bad things happen to you, it's because you were much more sinful than someone else. So if you were rich, you weren't a sinner. If you were poor, you must have been really bad. And Jesus is just knocking it on the head. Same as what Job does and everything else. He's just saying, no, so do with what you've done. What you're saying here is, you need to repent. Because if you don't repent, you're going to perish. And these people died at a time when Pilate decided, or when that building collapsed. They didn't choose when they died. They just died there and then. And if they hadn't repented, they were going to perish. And they're not perish in the sense of, yes, they're dead because the building fell on top of me. They're going to perish forever. And that's what Jesus is getting across. It's the ever bit. It's the fact that they are no longer going to be going to heaven. In fact, because they haven't repented, they're going to hell. That is such a great difficulty in this world to explain, I guess. But it's so simple. Jesus, he doesn't say, don't worry about suffering. It's not important. What's important is that you repent and you don't go to hell. In fact, you can come and live with me in paradise. And that's what Jesus is getting across here. It is so, so important that we understand that. That we repent or perish. I don't know if everyone here is a Christian. This is particularly aimed at yourselves. Because if you're not a Christian, you don't follow Jesus, then you're going to perish. All of us are going to die, but you'll die in a way that means you do not go to heaven. And maybe even in your own heart you think, am I or aren't I a Christian? Or not, I'm not sure. But I want everyone to reaffirm a prayer about saving, salvation. So please pray this along with me. Because it's like fundamental, isn't it? You know, it's when you think about it, we live in the Western world where everything is provided for us. We have health and safety at home. We have police service that protects us. We have fire, ambulance. We have lots of stuff that in the Western world looks after us. And so we can so easily get to the point of thinking, you know what, I'm not really going to die. You know, I've got the hospitals and everything. I can be quite secure and I can live my own life and control it. But Jesus is quite clear. And just looking at the news, it's quite clear that actually we don't. You know, we can just be in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's all it takes. And you could be dead, a relative could be dead, anything could happen. It can just happen at a wrong time. Remember the wonderful saying, "There but for the grace of God go I." And that's what strikes me with this thing here. Unless, let me just pray, because it's so important. And just reaffirm ourselves if we're Christians, but also if we're not, then take this on board. Come and speak at the end to John, Johnny, sexual and the leaders. Dear Lord, thank you so much that you are in charge of everything. We may not understand why or what goes on, Lord, but we do know one thing. You are in charge. You are our Saviour, Lord. And I just want to ask, Lord, for anyone here that to pray this prayer. Dear Lord, please forgive me for things that I've done wrong. Lord, I turn away from those things. I repent, Lord. And I ask and I will now follow you, Lord. You are the person who will control my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Did anyone hear that? I forgot to repeat from the beginning. Happy. I'll leave this. Yes, this could be awkward. It could go in and out because I'll move. And then, yes, good. But if you're a Christian in this room, then the parable, the passage we looked at, is like two halves. The first half, repent and perish. The second half, parable, that has impact, I believe. When I read it, I thought, oh no, this means me. I've got to do something. Normally what my wife says to me, Andy, do something. Let me read it, and then we're going to look at it. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it, fertilize it, and if it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." So is that a challenge to yourselves, do you think? Good response, thank you for that. So I assume it isn't a challenge and we can just stop now and have coffee and tea. Good. I think, let me tell you another incident that happened very recently about repent and perish and about being a Christian and what we need to do. At West Point, Helen and I got a text from my nieces to say that the doctors had given my mum 2 to 3 days to live, and prayed about it. And the Sunday went on the M5 all the way to Milton Keynes, where my mum went, to pray for my mum, because I wanted to say goodbye. I want to pray for her, because although we've had these chats, my mum is a very simple person. She doesn't really, I can never get her to tell me what she thought about religion. And all that. She was christened Church of England. My dad's a Roman Catholic. But are they just labels? Did my mum know Jesus? So Helen and I drove to Milton Keynes Sunday morning. Got there early afternoon. Went to the hospital, nieces were there, my dad was there, my brother was there, and we chatted and all that sort of thing. My mum was just laying motionless on bed, and immediate end of life care. She'd have some morphine to take away the pain, but she wasn't eating, wasn't communicating at all. And my dad left, that's a different story. My mum left, my dad left, and my brother left. And then it was just Helen and I, Kelly and Stacey, the two nieces. And we prayed for my mum, and I gave her a hug. And I said goodbye. And she opened her eyes. And she looked at me and became awake. and we started continuing praying, and Kelly gave us some yogurt to eat, you know, strange. And then I thought, well, if Mum's alive, I'm going to pray the prayer for her. So I prayed the prayer, what we were just praying earlier, and I said, you know, and you know what, Mum, if you can, if you understand and you can hear what we're saying, you're going to be in heaven. And my mum looked up at me, said, heaven. And then she went back to sleep again. No, that's the only bit of period she had of consciousness, thinking, God, have you just answered that? My mum going to go to heaven when she dies? Still alive. And thank you that I had the opportunity to go and pray with her. I was still within my year of doing it. Go and say to her, thank you for being my mum. I've got to say goodbye now, Mum. And I prayed for her. And I believe she's saved. I'll find out. But I hope she hasn't perished. That's why this, to me, when doing this parable, I thought, you know what, that was the right action. That's what I need to do. I had a year to do things in. That year can start from whenever. It's ongoing in a way, isn't it? But let's look at this verse again. Let's just think about what it is to be a Christian. And I guess we need to think about what is a fig tree. That is a fig tree. Has anyone got a fig tree in their garden? Yeah. Well done. If I'd known, you could have brought it in. Or maybe not then. Figs. I bought some. Anyone eating figs? Are they nice? You can buy them off me. I've never tried them. I should try them. They're delicious. John's not getting any. Right. This tree. Look at the tree. It's a fig tree in the vineyard. God planted the fig tree in the vineyard, you could argue. The owner did. It's beautiful. It's got all the leaves, twigs, and everything else, but guess what? It has no fruit. Could that be you? Could you be a really good fig tree, but fruitless? Let's just go through the verses. So, got a fig tree. The owner has a fig tree going in the garden. So it's very important. The owner planted that fig tree. So if you're a fig tree, if you think of yourself as a fig tree in this, then the owner, God, planted you in that place for this time. Right now, you're meant to be here. Are you doing the things you should be doing? For 3 years, every year, because the fig tree, as you might have read, crops every year from year one onwards. Vines, they take 3 years before they start producing grapes, but fig trees, every year on the year, they give fig trees. Figs, those things. 3 years, it's been there for 3 years, maybe longer, but the last 3 years, it's borne no fruit, and the owner is fed up and says, you know what, get rid of it. I can plant something else. Maybe you could be replaced in the vineyard. Someone else can do something. But it's not too late, because the gardener, the person in charge of the vineyard, looking after it, says, sir, the man replied, leave it alone one more year, and I'll dig round it and fertilize it. So, interesting. That's where the challenge comes in, isn't it? You're right here, right now. You're the fig tree. Are you bearing fruit? If you're not, what are you going to do in the next year? Because in the year's time, you're going to get chopped down. But the gardener's really kind, isn't he? Because the gardener says, maybe you've got a bit of hard soil underneath you. Maybe a hard heart. Maybe things have gone wrong in your life, which has made it very difficult for you to accept Jesus, to accept being a Christian. You were very good at one point, but now you're not. you've got hard ground, and the gardener's going to dig that up so that water can get in. And then he's going to put some fertilizer, manure, in there, give you a bit of growth. But that's the thing the gardener's doing for you. And you've done nothing to deserve it. For 3 years, you've done nothing. So the tree is going to have this wonderful thing done to them. But the tree still has the responsibility to grow fruit. So all the preparation doesn't mean to say that you're going to do it. For no one can do it for you. You've got to do it yourself. Isn't the gardener really good? Because the gardener is like, you could, some would say that's Jesus, but God, in effect, is merciful. And instead, he's been very patient, giving you another year, another chance. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Yet again, repentance is mentioned. It's so important that where we make mistakes as Christians, we just say sorry. It doesn't lose our salvation. We're still going to be saved, still go to heaven, but let's be sorry about the things we do wrong. The good thing is, in a year's time, if we bear fruit, who knows what's going to happen. But if we don't bear fruit, we will get chopped down. In Colossians, it's quite clear, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Are you doing that? Are you bearing fruit in every way you can? Maybe you just can't. You're struggling enough as it is in life that all you can do is just put one foot in front of the other. Let the ground be dug. Let the fertilizer go in. Let people help you. I can hear voices. Is it you, God? What? Now? So where are you? Are you bearing fruit? If so, what sort of fruit? Are you bearing good fruit? Do you feel barren, rejected? Lost in the wilderness, waiting for the chop. But you know what? Whatever you feel right now can be improved upon. Even if you think you're the best Christian in the world, can be improved. Only Jesus can't be improved upon. So think about it. You've got a year. If you've got a year, what can you do in that year? You can be dug over. You can be manured, everything. So you've got the possibility to bear fruit. Will you bear fruit? And you're probably saying to myself, keep talking about fruit. What are you on about? Is anyone asking that question yet? Is anyone talking to me? No. Thank you. I've failed on both accounts. Is anyone asking what the fruit is? How do you know if you're bearing fruit? What fruit is it you're looking for? I'd love to have my volunteers come up. John? So what is the fruit? And I thought I'd get some good people coming out. Remember, you're not allowed to judge. So no judgment, all right? These are good people. And I could have picked any of you, is that right? You're not sure, are you? You don't want to be picked on. Well, no. And they're not in any order because they're not that good. But I've chosen them because some of them, I want you to guess which ones, no, they don't. Some of them exhibit the quality I'm talking about. So I don't want to get him proud, so only some of them. They won't know which ones. So I'm going to start randomly, starting with, can you guess who this person is? Do you know what gift of the Spirit she might have? Why did you know that? She exhibits the gift of the Spirit in her name. Isn't that wonderful? Joy. Thank you, Joy, for being Joy. You can stay there. Anyone guess what Helen, my wife, has as a gift? If this was a school, you'd be on detention right now. My patience dealing with Helen is what you meant, wasn't it? John and Molly, you probably won't guess. Why do we make people with the same initials? John and Mary. Faithfulness, yes. Faithfulness. I know, I was surprised as well. Trevor. Now, this is going to be hard, I think. That's all right. Go for it, Trevor. If you've known Trevor, then I'm sorry about that. No, if you've known Trevor, that's brilliant, because the things that Trevor does, you just don't know. In the background, what's going on, you just don't know. All the stuff he does, it's so wonderful. And also, he was flippant when he went past me. So come back to you. They failed. Oh, sorry, that was judgmental, wasn't it? I'm going to flick to Mandy. I can't remember what people have got back. No, we'll come back to Mandy later, because I need to have that, what Mandy's got. What do you think John and Molly might have? Love.
Yeah.
You are right. Yes. You know what? When you think about this, these people exhibit the fruit. Molly does it. John and Molly. Don't ever see them not holding hands. Must
no,
be very.
Yeah.
I don't know how. I've told you, I got it wrong. But isn't it interesting that they exhibit love? It must be awkward driving, but anyway. Jenny and Peter. Any thoughts? You probably can narrow in down, by the way, there's 9 of them altogether, so there's less and less. Could be, yeah. Kindness, yes. Kindness. Peter does so much. I remember on last Wednesday on our evening of news, etc., Peter was saying that he and Thomas were going off after the meeting to go and help fix someone's boiler and all that, probably free of charge and everything else. And the other people, the electricians, etc., he didn't moan a bit to us. No. He was going to do that all to sort out this lady who didn't have any. And Jenny as well, of course. Linda, what do you think Linda is? Yes! No, that's me. Peace. Do you know why that is? It's because today I came and I had to get my presentation. It wasn't working properly. And I had to go and redo it a bit because the colours weren't right. And I had to make sure the video bit worked. And throughout the whole of that, Linda was perfectly calm. At peace. Didn't show any form of fluster. I was flapping. She was napping. I mean, enjoying life. So thank you, Linda. Thank you. Giselle, what do you reckon? Very aggressive person. That's what I thought as well, yeah. Gentleness. Yes. And she's unwelcome. Everyone unwelcome, like me, is calm and nice. And thank you for being gentle. And what about Mandy then? Can you guess what it is? Was that hard to guess? Self-control. Mandy says she hasn't. But all I've ever seen of Mandy is someone who looks to be there in the moment and in control. And I think that's so important, isn't it? You know, I have real issues with self-control. And because I've given up crisps for the fasting. I trust you've given up something. I've given up crisps. That, to me, is a big self-control. That's going to do my 1 year of changing, bearing fruit. I'm not going to have any crisp eating. So, I mean, this just leaves Lawrence and Audrey, the odd couple.
Yes. Ooh.
Can you have one of them? So, they're the fig holders. And, you know, these are the fruit. Self-control, peace, patience, kindness, joy. But you know what? How does that translate into the world? That translates into the world by doing things. So the fruit itself is something that's been produced by the tree. So it's going to be looking after people. Perhaps that as a church, like we're going to Ford Prison, we help with people who are pregnant and not sure what to do. We do lots of stuff and help in local communities, support one another and people outside. It's great to be peaceful. We just sit at home being peaceful, do nothing. I think God's going to be on your case. So all these things are important. The actual fruits of the Spirit and the doing of the job that God gives you to do. And what is your calling? What is it that God is asking you to do today, tomorrow, next week, this month, coming a year's time? What is he asking you to do? Do you know? You ask God? Probably saying, ask me, and I'll tell you. Or maybe, like with me sometimes, he's turning his head off at you, telling you, Andy, make the bed. Your wife's patience is running out. She's mentioned the word divorce. No. Have you? No. Said not today. So tomorrow. You've got to seize the moment. Today, next second. Remember what happened? Died. Just like that. So if you're not a Christian, you need. If you are a Christian, you know God wants us. We're not going to die and not go to heaven. But what we're not going to do, we're not going to have the life that God wants for us. We're not going to live a full life. We're going to live a life which just goes on from one day to another. Maybe God says, you know what, might as well just kill you now and get into heaven. So let's all exhibit the fruits and be fruitful. Please take your seats quietly. Yeah, can you? Thank you. Well done. Well done. Thank you. Thank you. Love. Is that for me, John? Thanks. Oh, dear me. What does that mean? We've done those. He hasn't quite formatted properly. John Wesley. Who knows who John Wesley is? Just Simon, well done, Simon. I knew that because you're on foundations. You're going to be a great leader. Rest of you. Oh, no, that's judgmental again, wasn't it? John Wesley, co-founder of the Methodist movement. He said this, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can, because you can. But guess what you've got to do? You've got to do the can, so to speak. You've got to do it, haven't you? Because you can. Don't miss the opportunity. to do what God is asking you to do. I want to end with, you know what? Repent. If you're not a Christian, repent and turn to Jesus. If you are a Christian, remember to keep saying sorry to God when we make our mistakes. Believe and listen to God. Find out what he's asking you to do. I'm going to pray about that in a second. Because God wants you to be fruitful. So guess what? You can and you will be fruitful. Find out what God wants to do, you to be doing. Thank you. Let me just pray for us all. As I end, and I don't know if the worship team wants to come up. Dear Lord, your word is so wonderful. When you start to look at it, even just 9 verses, you end up telling us that we've got to repent, got to believe in you, and you know what? You've got great plans for us, things that we can do for you here on earth, while we're here on earth. So, Lord, I just want to pray, Lord, for us now. We're not Christians, that we become Christians today. Come and say slightly, Lord. Please, Lord, put on those people's hearts who want to do that. And for the rest of us, Lord, who are Christians, Lord, I pray that we will right now take on what has been said today. Step forth from this very moment to find out what it is that we should be doing, the fruits we should be exhibiting, the calling on our lives. Because you may have been barren for 3 years. That ends right now. Walk back in God's promises. And those who are not barren, continue to walk and grow and become more fruitful. For our God is with us and nothing can be against us. Thank you, Lord, for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.